Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast. Through our Stories from the Field series, we aim to bring you insights into the world of coaching in schools. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and over the past 30 episodes or so, we have learned about the challenges and the benefits of developing a coaching culture in schools. Back in December 2021, I had the privilege of interviewing Alison Spence, principal of Kohea Terrace School in Auckland, New Zealand. In that episode, we were joined by some of Alison's primary students to hear of the fantastic impact of their Students Coaching Students Programme. In today's episode, I'm excited to take another look at the whole concept of students coaching students, but this time at secondary school level. To talk us through that journey, I'm delighted to be joined by Natasha Mercer. Natasha is Head Teacher of Teaching and Learning at St Ives High School in Sydney, Australia. She has been a history teacher for two decades, teaching in Sydney and the UK, and since 2018 she has been a leading pioneer of programmes that teach and support students to coach other students. She is also co-founder of the Australian Educoaches Community. Natasha, I'm delighted to have you join me on the podcast today.
I'm always happy to talk coaching, Richard, so I'm delighted to be here.
Good stuff. Well, you're in the right place. You're definitely in the right place. Natasha, could you share with us, to start things off, a little flavour of your journey through education so far and how you arrived at St Ives High School?
Yeah, so I have been working in public education for 20 years. I started as a history teacher at a school not very far from where I am now. And after a couple of years of doing that, I was ready for something a bit different. So we packed up and went to the UK. And there I was part of a brand new academy school that was opening in London. So it was a really exciting opportunity to be part of a school starting from scratch. That's where I first encountered coaching, which I think we'll come back to later on. But since we arrived back in Australia in 2014, I've been at St Ives High School. And I've been in my current role since 2016, which is quite a while now. But it's one of those roles that keeps evolving and you keep learning in it. So it's still interesting and fresh to me.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely having that experience. So I would imagine in Australia, but also in the UK, because mm-hmm. too, I would imagine very, very different contexts. And I think when it comes to, well, being an educator in general, you know, the broader your experiences, I think the better the educator you become. So lovely having that contrast. Natasha, as you know, at GCI, we are all about coaching in education. So could you give us some insight into how you became interested in coaching? You alluded to it a little bit there. Who or what inspired you to give it a go?
Yeah, so the principal at my school in London was really interested in coaching, and he was really interested in the way that coaching might be able to help students reach their potential. So in the first years of the school being set up there, we had a student coaching kind of slot at the beginning and the end of the day. But, you know, like a lot of things in school, best intentions, but in reality it became sort of handing out permission notes and chasing kids for homework and things like that. So I guess I sort of had a bit of a view of the potential for how it could help students, but also that importance to make sure you're really supporting your staff to implement it well and not letting other things get in the way. After being back in Australia for a couple of years, I hadn't really been thinking about coaching again. And I had a parent who came up to me one day and said, look, I work at this school nearby. It's called Pymble Ladies College in Sydney. And they're doing this really interesting thing coaching students. She said, I think if my son had had this at school, I think he really would have benefited from it to want to come along and have a look. And so Sally Egan, who was at Pymble Ladies College at the time, hasn't been for some time now, was really generous, welcomed my colleague Nathan Lawler and I along to have a look and just see how they were supporting students with coaching. It was something that really appealed to us because at the time, you know, we have really lovely students at our school, but we did just feel like they weren't really reaching their potential. Probably a couple of things we thought were holding them back. I think one thing is they just didn't really have that kind of get up and go to set their own goals for some students, you know, bit of a she'll be right culture. But then probably the majority of our students who weren't reaching their potential, we found they were getting very anxious, very overwhelmed by the whole experience of doing those final exams at the end of year 12, which is the final year here. And we thought coaching might be a way of supporting them. So we thought we'd go along, see what was happening. And at that school, they had teachers coaching students. And it, you know, sounded like a wonderful program, you know, really supportive for students, really good way of building those relationships between teachers and students. But as my colleague and I were walking away back to our car, the first thing we said, sounds really good, but, you know, gosh, it sounds really expensive to run. And being a public school, you know, just don't quite have the resourcing. Yes. And I think probably that challenge then got us to think, but you know what, wouldn't it actually be amazing if the kids could coach each other? And then not only would they have the benefit of being coached, but they could develop those skills as a coach as well. So for us, I think always from the beginning, that was where we wanted to go with our coaching. But it did take us a little bit of time to get there, and it's, you know, still evolving.
I love that idea, Natasha, that, you know, we're not just following the normal model, the normal process. And again, you know, I've been interviewing a lot of people on this podcast over the last, whatever, 3-4 years now. And there can be a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a recipe, it's a bit of a process. You know, you come in at a certain level and you move through, you know, in a certain direction. But I'm picking up, you know, that wasn't necessarily the case at St. Ives. And, you know, for many schools, it is a significant enough challenge developing, you know, a coaching culture amongst the adults. And in that, the neighbouring school, you know, you're able to see, you know, adults coaching the students. But also, St. Ives, you've gone one step further in many ways by developing coaching for students, coaching students first. Could you share with us just a wee bit about how that journey has evolved? That really interests me.
Yeah, I always say we kind of did the coaching thing backwards, because everyone always seems to start with staff and then maybe they think about coaching the students. We found that because we were talking about something that was supporting student achievement and well-being, it was the sort of thing that really people were happy to support. And it's one thing about educators, you know, we always want to put kids first and do what we can to support them. First place, I guess, we started was talking to our principal at the time, who was really supportive. He suggested talking to our parents and citizens body in terms of getting their support. And, you know, again, anytime parents hear something that says it's going to help their kids, they're basically like, well, how can we support you? And they gave us a really generous financial donation, which really got us started on training. So 2016, end of 2016, we started doing some staff training through GCI, and we trained a lot of our leaders just as a way of kind of giving them that toolkit for having better conversations in general.
Yeah.
And a couple of teachers who we thought we'll start with having teachers coach students, so it's a bit easier, and really focusing on coaching those students in the last year. In the meantime, in the background, every 6 months, I'm getting on the phone to GCI going, do you guys do anything with coaching kids? Like, I really want some support with doing this. I don't know where to start. And they clearly remembered because it was at the end of 2017 that we had Christian Van Nieuwenberg and Claudia said that they wanted to pilot this program of students coaching students, and invited us to be one of the 6 schools to be involved. So we were part of that pilot program. And I think one of the most powerful things we got out of that was just learning how to pilot something. And we always talk about the fact there's a lot of power in the word pilot. You know, it's not scary. It's not this is what we're doing now. Just we think there might be something powerful here. Let's give it a go and be really receptive to the fact that you're not going to get it perfect the first time around. You're going to need to keep, you know, improving it as you go. So that year we had 30 coaches that we trained. We were working with year 11 students and we had them coaching year 8 students. It was a pretty random selection of cohorts based on people that were interested in being involved.
Okay.
but it worked really well, very much learning as we go. Worked out that we needed to make some templates to help the kids have better conversations, that we needed to do a lot more ongoing training and debriefing that we probably factored in initially, But it meant the second time around, we were able to make those improvements. So then we had some little structural things we were doing, like we created a homeroom of the coaches. So they all have a homeroom in the morning anyway, but having the coaches together meant we could do really tiny training sessions in the mornings, have those debriefs after they'd had some coaching with the students as well.
I think that idea of the word pilot is important. And I think people who are listening, that will give them a lot of encouragement and I think a lot of confidence to trial out, you know, the coaching in school. And you're right, the word does carry a lot of weight. I think it's important to give yourself permission to make mistakes with some with new initiatives like this. I think there's more opportunity to get buy-in from people if it's not a matter of this is exactly how we're going to do it and there's no veering left or right. So I think that's been a really, really good way to start the whole process. And I know that a lot of our listeners, you know, are listening in, and what we never want to do is set up, you know, any school to say this is the perfect way of doing things. You know, this is what you need to be achieving, because it doesn't work like that in real life. And as you know, Natasha, with any new initiative, there are always going to be barriers, challenges, and in many ways, steep hills to climb. So thinking through your experience so far, looking at students, coaching students, all the best intentions in there, what sort of things, if other schools are listening in, should they really be mindful in those early stages? If you were starting this again, you know, from word go, blank page, what would you be saying to other folks?
I think you do need to make sure that whoever's leading the program does have a really strong foundation in coaching. And ideally, you've got a couple of people leading the helm there so that they can bounce ideas off each other. I'm not doing a lot of the day-to-day running of things at the moment with student coaching. I'm running a secondary program, which I think we'll talk about at the moment with our alumni. But it's been amazing seeing my colleague, Emma Abraham, pick up and do a lot of the day-to-day work with students, because everyone, you know, brings their different experiences to it. And it's super cool seeing somebody take your idea and make it like even better. So I do think you do want to make sure you've got some people with a really strong grounding in coaching, because they're going to have to do that training and that support. I think another thing that, you know, again, in hindsight was a bit obvious, but we hadn't quite anticipated how important it is for your coaches to be coached as part of their own development and their support. And that was a thing that we had to rework into the program, to make sure that we weren't just telling them how to be coaches, we're actually showing them through the process too, and they were having that experience of what's it like to reflect and set goals and make that progress yourself, as well as, you know, picking up some cool questions and helpful little tidbits on the way. I'd probably say the last thing that's really important in terms of starting up is to be really open with your communication with your school community about what you're doing and why. It was really helpful having Christian work with us in the beginning, because there's a lot of research has been done around the efficacy of student coaching. You know, it is still a niche field, but there is research behind it. So we could really clearly explain, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, these are the benefits that we think we're going to see, but also then making sure we had evaluative processes in the background to make sure that we were seeing the outcomes we wanted to see and that we were then making the changes, improvements as we needed to go through. And I think you've got to be really open to the fact you are going to have to change things. There will be things that come up that you didn't expect, but if you're expecting the unexpected, I think it's a bit easier to make those changes.
And those, you know, those hints and tips are really useful for people who are listening in. And I think, you know, one of the things I've noted down there at the very outset, Natasha, you mentioned a really strong foundation, strong coaches who are leading the process. And I think you're absolutely right, you know, making sure that those people, you know, are leading with a real strong coaching arm. And, you know, for the coaches to make sure that there's opportunity for them to be coached as well. And even meeting together, I think you're absolutely right. That's something that's going to be so beneficial. So being able to stand over what you're doing. And I suppose for other people from the outside looking in, having that credibility where the research is there to back up what you're doing, I think is vitally important. So that's genuinely very helpful for the folks who are listening. What would you say, again, just looking over the last few years, what would you say has been the biggest impact on your students through this development of students, coaching students?
So we were into, I think it was about our second round of student coaches being trained and running through the program with Year 8 when March 2020 happened, COVID. And one of the big challenges we had there was that we had students in year group bubbles. So suddenly we had these trained Year 11 coaches that were not allowed to meet with Year 8 students anymore.
No.
One of those quirks of COVID, though, is that while students couldn't meet with other students, they could meet with staff members.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ideas we decided to implement was that we'd create this alumni program mm-hmm. where we essentially took those first round of student coaches that we trained and paid them to come back and be the coaches that we were kind of missing during COVID.
Okay.
And that's been a really interesting way, I think, of us expanding the program because it means that we are able to give support to a wider range of students. So this time we were supporting Year 11 and Year 12.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that we've got this other kind of layer of coaches in our system now that can support our students. So when I'm talking about the importance of student coaches having a coach, we can now have our alumni come in and coach them. And so it's building this little community within the school, which is really lovely. And it's let us, I think, draw on their expertise when it comes to the training that we're doing with the student coaches as well. Something about teenagers, they'll listen to another teenager telling them something before they listen to an adult.
Yes.
So for them to be able to talk to our alumni coaches, you know, what do you do in this situation? What are some of the challenges you come up against? Has really been a benefit to our system, and it's helped us scale it a little bit more too.
I like that idea where, you know, there's real benefit to those older students, you know, the ones who are actually delivering the program. Because I know when we were chatting just in our prep, you know, conversation a couple of weeks back, you know, you were saying how, you know, initially the target was to benefit the students who were being coached, and ultimately, yes, we want to improve student outcomes. You talked about Year 12 and, you know, anxiety around exams, and those are very genuine issues that you want to try and address. But you were saying that, you know, I suppose as time went on, the impact on the students who were doing the coaching almost became equal to that. Wouldn't that be a fair comment?
Yeah, actually, I'd say that the benefits the coaches get outweigh the benefit of being coached.
Okay.
And that was something we didn't expect being when we went into this. As you say, we really were thinking about helping students set goals and achieve goals in terms of their own academic growth, supporting their well-being. But it was through the ongoing training we were doing with our students, with our alumni when we got them involved,
mm-hmm.
that we actually noticed the magic was really happening with the coaches. Again, kind of going into this, we've expected that we would see benefits in terms of the students achieving goals and the coaches kind of developing their skills. But the kind of benefits, I think, did surprise us. So if I think about what the students get out of being coached, the number one piece of feedback from our students was really around improvements to their well-being.
Okay.
We're a really big school. We've got 1,800 odd kids this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I think for our students to have someone who would sit down and just give them 20, 30 minutes of their time and really listen to what they had to say made them feel like someone at school really cared about them as a person, you know, as opposed to an English student or a math student in the classroom. They also told us that they really felt that, you know, in addition to the stuff you'd expect on being better organized, developing study skills, that actually the coaching process provided them with a confidence that in the future, when they encountered stress over their work or without feeling overwhelmed, that they had a range of strategies they could try that would help them get through the difficult times. And they felt confident they could keep a positive attitude up when the pressure was on. So that was really exciting to see from the students who were being coached. In terms of the coaches, really what we saw the longer we worked with students, and you know, some of the first student coaches have now been with us for 4 years, you know, having left school and come back, we're really seeing their ability to develop creative problem solving has come through their experience in coaches. You know, instead of just coming up with a problem, being able to sort of work through a bunch of different pathways and options to help solve it. We've seen also in terms of developing their emotional intelligence and their problem solving, really seeing them come up with, when there is an issue, thinking about why is that a problem for someone, and really starting to think about what's behind the issue someone's presenting. So, for example, a lot of our students come into coaching sessions and they'll say, I want to stop procrastinating. I'm procrastinating a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things I've seen our coaches develop is an awareness of when someone is procrastinating, there could be a bunch of different reasons behind that. You know, maybe they're not interested in what they're doing. Maybe there's some perfectionism at play and they actually, you know, are too anxious to start because once you start, it's not perfect. Sometimes it's a skill gap. So just for our coaches to actually have that curiosity, if somebody is behaving in a certain way, you know, what might be behind it, it's been really powerful seeing them grow in their own skill that way. And as I say, a lot of our former student coaches are now in the workplace. You know, I've heard one of my students who's now doing nursing talk about how her coaching skill makes her better when it comes to bedside manner as a nurse because of all the skills she developed as a coach. So it really is like skills for life. It's great being coached, but I think when you can develop the skill set of a coach, it's mm-hmm. even more powerful.
Yeah. And I think that's something, you know, Natasha, a big takeaway for me, and I would imagine, you know, and everybody who's listening, you know, when it comes to, you know, selling an idea or initiative, you know, we've always got hang-ups and what about this and your cost and all those things and things come into our minds. But when you're telling us there that, and I love that phrase, the magic was happening with the coaches, and you articulate what you see with the benefits to those young people who were doing the coaching, and this alumni and you know, students coming back to school, and you know, 2, 3, 4 years into the process, seeing them now in the working world, and the impact that those coaching skills have given them and had on their careers in many ways is just, it's bound to be very encouraging for you, you know, to see that sort of impact.
Yeah, it's really amazing and really special to know that you can see those tangible benefits that they take with them even when they're not at our school anymore. And it's ended up being much bigger benefit than really what we anticipated mm-hmm. when we first embarked on this little pilot.
Yeah. And I think it's a key thing as well, just to highlight to folks who are listening that that doesn't happen in one or two terms. You know, it happens over a number of years. This is a long-term investment time-wise to see those really positive long-term results. You know, and we're always encouraging through these podcast episodes, you know, listeners to say, listen, you're not going to come in. It's not going to be one and done in a year. You've got to really commit to this, you know, as a whole school to see those sort of outcomes. Natasha, as we move forward into the mid-2020s, we're 2024 at the moment, and beyond, how do you see coaching developing at St Ives?
So that's interesting what you're saying about how long it takes to develop as a coach. Mm. I heard that it takes 3 years to really kind of start to feel like you're kind of starting to get it all together.
Yeah.
So one of the things we've actually started post-COVID was working with some younger students. Mm-hmm. So we've just trained year nine as coaches. We're hoping that means that by the time they get to year 11 and year 12 when they're being coached, that they actually have an appreciation for the process. I don't know if it's easier or it's harder coaching someone who gets coaching. Sometimes it's probably a bit of both. But we're going to hope that that gives them that opportunity to really develop their skills while they're here.
Yeah.
It also logistically is a little bit easier. One of the things we're really proud we did and really glad we did is the alumni program, but that's already now that group we were using your student coaches. So, you know, it's a big draw in their time. We had to rethink things a little bit.
Mm.
So this year we've got year nine coaching year seven and year eight. And I would hope that we're starting to every year just expand a little bit on the number of students involved in that program.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I'd really love to see moving forward is more of that coaching approach happening every day in classrooms.
Okay.
It's going to look a little bit different.
Mm.
But if we sort of strip coaching back to that idea of where are you now? Where do you want to go? What are some steps that you can take to get you on the way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't it be amazing if kids were talking about their learning in that way?
Yes.
I think that would be wonderful if they were doing that in every classroom. We've been talking about coaching for a long time now. It's spread to the way that we support our early career teachers. It's spread to the way we support our early career leaders. I do think the more it just becomes how we talk about things around here, the more that we will see that filtering more into classrooms.
Yeah.
It's a bit of it. There's a bit of it here and there, but mm-hmm. I'd love to see more of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do think one of the things, I guess, that's on my mind, as I said before, you really do need experienced coaches to lead these student coaching programs.
Yeah.
There is a lot of ad hoc training and support in terms of just those coaching skills. So I guess one thing that's on my mind is a bit of future-proofing, making sure we've got sustainable systems.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 11th year at St. Ives, so I'm clearly, you know, I like it here. I'm not in a hurry to leave, but I'm very mindful that if the program becomes too strongly connected to just one or two staff members, mm-hmm. that it won't have that longevity to survive. So that's one of the things I'm working on. As I said, I've got Emma running a lot of the program this year, and it's been great seeing where she's taken it, but also just building that team of champions so that hopefully the program does become just something we do ongoing.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be lovely, as you say, we've got, you know, the formal coaching is happening, the alumni are there, but to develop to a point where, as a school, as you walk around the building, in and out of the classrooms, staff room, playground, whatever it might be, that's the sort of conversations you hear, and it's clear that there's a coaching way of being that the students that the students show up with to school every day, and then they'll carry that on into their working career and beyond. Natasha, thank you so much for your time today. I have really enjoyed learning about your experiences of students coaching students, and it has genuinely motivated me to want to investigate the process even further. And I love the fact that you've gone around about it that particular way, starting with students coaching students. The benefits for the students are very clear, not just for those being coached, as we've talked about today, but equally, and maybe in your words, more so for those delivering the actual coaching. I'm quite sure you will have sparked an interest in many of our listeners. So if you are listening to this today and want to find out more, check out the GCA website. In the meantime, I trust you will tune in for the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.